interesting little story for you, Andrew. My own side of the Dundalk 16 run. The Alkmaar match, right towards the end, I was going along for work. I was heading into the press box and I was running a bit late and I was sort of trying to get it up across the Tala in time. And the as you cross the roads there, you know, so it was obviously a big load of people piling in at that stage, and guards all sort of letting people by. And a car kind of pulls up and stops us all. And I'm nearly down. I'm like, come on, come on, come on. And yeah, sort of panicking about trying to get set up in time and all that. And out of the car pops a sort of man in what looked like a sergeant's uniform. And I was like, who's this guy? You know, get on with it. And then out pops Uachtarán Michael D. Higgins. And I was delighted. I was like, all right, right, have a bit of respect. Come on, now don't be, you know, you can wait. You can be a bit late. And the fella beside me, he was with his young lad, and they were Dundalk fans. And he just looked at me as if it was like, as if he was seeing some beautiful, like, wildlife moment, like a deer in its natural habitat, seeing Michael D. And he just looked at me and, oh, that's class. He was delighted having seen Michael D.
That's a pretty good story now.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Happy little baddies.
Yeah, well, better than my overriding memory from that one was just being in the Aviva, sticking out like a sore thumb, trying to pretend to support Dundalk for the night, which I'm pretty sure every League of Ireland fan was like that night. But
putting a disclaimer right at the start of this one so we don't get pelters, Andrew. We're trying to compare these two sides in terms of, I mean, how are we comparing them? Is it, which one was a better run? Because for me, Dundalk have that wrapped up, considering, I mean, they won their third round game and won a Europa League game. So in terms of a run of fixtures, it you know, it's probably a bit better. Just, the conversation is probably not really that much about that. It's more comparing the two campaigns, highs and lows, I suppose. Because,
in terms of context, is it?
Yeah, because Rovers were pioneers.
Yeah.
In that way. And they probably have, in terms of like standout highlight moments, the goals and stuff like that, there's probably better goals in that campaign as well.
In the
Rovers, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Rovers and Everton. So just for, I should
clarify. In terms of memory anyway, that's probably, yeah. I can think of the, obviously the Stephen Rice goal at White Hart Lane, which just, it just sticks out. It wasn't a great goal, but it was probably more memorable than any of the Dundalk goals.
Just before we get into
Kilduff, I'd say.
Yeah, before we get into a couple of the individual games, which team was better? We'd probably nearly have to get Stevie O'Donnell in because he's with both and sort of ask him.
Oh, this is,
Finn as well, I suppose. We could ask Finn, but both of them are a little bit busy.
Maybe. I'd say, I've no idea.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Because it is.
I think in terms of everyone will lean towards Stephen Kenny,
but
as in terms of like recent, I suppose it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure Michael O'Neill will be gone at that time. So that's a shame, because it would have been interesting if Stephen Kenny had the Ireland job and Michael O'Neill had the Northern Ireland job at the same time.
In playoff final.
Exactly.
Could you
get
imagine?
Mick out. Sorry, Mick, we need this for this to be. But
I don't know. It's hard to call. Maybe I'd say, Joe, I'm completely, I've
it's
no
too
idea.
Hard, isn't it?
I've no
it's,
idea.
It's a really, really tough one to call. Steve is an interesting character across these two sort of sets of runs, I suppose, because such a seismic role in both. Notably seismic moment for Shamrock Rovers, but sort of the I sort of remember the injury sort of mounting on him at this point at Dundalk, which is a real shame, because he still played some big games, but he's just a really interesting character in both, you know?
You know, I think after Shamrock Rovers one was probably more of his Stevie O'Donnell kind of as at his pomp, like, and then obviously he had his well-known injury issues over the last few years where he kind of said that maybe he was thinking of giving up football in a sense, and maybe Stephen Kenny kind of, you know, it was a bit of a rebirth for him at Dundalk, and it was kind of like maybe what could have been, well, I wouldn't say what could have been, but, you know, maybe like if he wasn't injured the whole time, he could have been at that level the whole time.
Yeah,
but
he could have been making deciders for them and possibly could have helped them on a little bit further. Let's start with the recent one. Let's start with Dundalk's. You can probably pick out, I suppose, when it started to feel exciting, we can probably pick out a sort of main moment, maybe a game that stands out. We'll have to put the Bate win in there just because,
yeah,
you know, they'd have been a dangerous team to be getting in those European draws for quite some time at that point. And they did have quite a lot of chances in the away leg. At home then, 3-0 win is spectacular. Like,
they just destroyed them.
Yeah.
They, like, I remember I was in France, I think, that night. I had it on a little YouTube stream and just watching it. And
The X bet? Not a bit of X bet?
Oh, no, it was actually on YouTube.
Right.
Live on YouTube. So
X bet sort of lost my trust after I had to watch Limerick lose 7-0 to Dundalk on it on the worst camera angle I've ever seen. I was like, I don't think I fancy this anymore.
No, but I remember watching it there and it was kind of like one of those, like, you knew where you were kind of thing. Like, it's kind of like you wish you were there, but it's like wherever else you were watching it, you didn't remember exactly where you were.
Mm.
That's definitely the Bate game. Even actually the FH game, because they kind of rode their luck in a sense in that one.
Yeah. Because
if they were beaten by FH, that was it. Yeah. Like, it was over then.
That's it.
Actually, I don't even know. Maybe both games probably had the same level of importance, just maybe more memorable. The Bate game, given that it was in Tala.
Given that it was a win as well.
In Tala, in the rain. Maybe
was it in Tala? Yeah, you're right. Sorry, it wasn't Tala.
The Robbie Benson goal as well. This
is what I was going to say. So
it all off.
Go back to the start. I mean, you have serious Damien Duff vibes from Daryl Horgan in this game. Even, even how much their movement would have been like. I know Daryl's a different looking player in that way, but, like, he is sort of little... His little run, his little jink, and he hits one right on McMillan's head, who flicks it in. Another thing about that game, watching it back, the fullbacks. I know the Stephen Kenny era is not all that long gone, but, like, the supporting fullbacks every single time gets me. It's
unbelievable.
Isn't it the second goal? Isn't it Gannon to Massey?
Yeah.
I think it's Gannon's lob at the back post, ends up with Massey, who again puts it on McMillan's head, and you're like, lovely job, 2-0.
And I remember even watching that game, and we were kind of watching it with my dad, and we were just thinking, Sean Gannon that good?
Yeah.
It was like, never expected him to see it at the time. Maybe we
probably excelled in this period, actually, and has done, but this is maybe where it really did stand out for someone like him.
Probably, and it's kind of maybe a shame in a sense that everyone else kind of excelled, because maybe he doesn't get the credit that he probably deserves from it. He's kind of the one player that I thought actually stood out more than most in that campaign. Granted, Daryl Horgan did as well. You can't maybe ignore him, but maybe a close second has to be Sean Gannon.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, you mentioned Benson's goal, the old Klinsmann dive. I think that's what really stands out in memory to me of, like, how epic it was. As you said, lashing down the Klinsmann dive and all the players nearly, not all, but it's a huge pylon then at that stage. They look shot.
I think the best part was Stephen Kenny absolutely drenched in his shirt as well. That was brilliant. That was really good.
The other one that stands out, I suppose, because we can't go through all the games, but that would have been, I suppose, the start of a really big, and one of those main memories that stands out. And we could probably argue a few after that, because obviously I mentioned Dundalk at least won a game in that campaign, so that obviously stands out. The thing you will have to say, though, is remember the 2-1 loss in Russia to Zenit? I think that really stands out to me as one of those games where they just showed it's not impossible for us to compete, because Zenit would have certainly had a team of close to about 100 million. I'm sure people can correct me on that, but it would have been expensive. You'd have had Axel Witsel still there, I think. Players like that. And not only that, the scene is so memorable as well. Icy, snowy pitch, and of course, Orange Ball.
I think
love an Orange Ball.
Artem Dzyuba as well. I wouldn't say ripped up the World Cup.
Well, he did tear up the World Cup.
Scored a fair few goals.
I don't know what it is about the Orange Ball, but it's one of those small novelties in the world, or in football, I should say, that I don't really know why I like it, but I just kind of get excited. I'm like, oh, it's changed colour.
It's kind of like, I don't know, if you ever played FIFA back in the day. It was like, I don't know, maybe FIFA 11 or something, when the ball started bouncing, it was like snowing, and you had the Orange Ball. It was just something different.
It was exactly. I don't know what it is. It's just like a total novelty to have it. But anyway, the game itself, the proper stuff, because we're not here to discuss that kind of carry on. I can't remember. I remember going down to watch that game in one of the pubs nearby, and I was just getting there when, I can't remember, was it Gannon or Mountney or someone out in the far right? So I hit that weird cross where I cracked the post and beat everyone. I can't for the life of me remember who it was. Might have been Gannon at the time. It was someone certainly from that right hand side. Should point out in this game that Gary Rogers did quite well, makes a lot of important saves. And then that first half you were pretty full of hope, only for Andy Boyle as an absolute mare at the back. I think Shields puts the ball back to him, maybe puts him under a little bit of pressure. He just ties himself and knots Zenit Nick and score. But then early in the second half, the goal comes from Daryl Horgan and
a long ball.
He was already, this is what I had down. It's sort of a really anti-Dundalk bit of football. It's a hoof clearance.
It was kind of a mix-up, wasn't it?
It was at that moment where you're like, this lad could play for Ireland if he's getting on the end of these hoofed clearances. But yeah, it was a mix of a hoofed ball, and Zenit player, I don't know what he's trying to do, basically head it anywhere but there, heads it in behind. Darrell just nips away, shows that he sometimes looks unlikely to have as much pace as he does, Darrell Horgan, but he does, gets in, really cool finish. He nearly actually gives the recovering defender a chance to get back to it, but it's an extra little touch. He just gets his body in the way and dinks it over him, and then Stephen Kenny, just to get a bit of it, he looks so happy. He's going absolutely mad at this point, and he doesn't always do that. Like,
no, he doesn't.
Not very emotional, but at that point, you know, really would have been. Only for then, the last few minutes, Zenit absolutely overloaded them, and Dundalk maybe weren't all that used to having to sit too deep for games. Again, probably contrast we can put with the Shamrock Rovers run in a few minutes, but you could just see that the pressure was coming and coming and coming, and you thought, it's in trouble here. And eventually they get a scrappy winner, do Zenit, with about two or three Dundalk players on their own goal line. But there was a real buzz for a long period of that game that they'd get something. And not only that, that was sort of coming off the back of having got a win and a draw against Maccabi and Alkmaar earlier in the campaign. So this was one of those turning moments where, like, if they can hold on, this was serious, you know, this is a serious result if they can get it. I can't remember if it was the first three games or certainly the first four games. If they get five points out of those first four games, they're really in with a chance here. But unfortunately, wasn't to be. And the last few games of that campaign maybe fall closer into what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is just a few sort of, you know, generic defeats. It looked like they were out of puff at that point. You would have had Stevie injuries. You would have had Chrissy Shields maybe losing a bit of puff. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. Was he injured or suspended here or there or something like that? But you would have had them looking a little bit more open, and I mean, a month after our season had finished.
I think the Zenit game at home kind of sticks out, where I think they went to goal up, didn't they? Mm. And they had a chance to go 2-0 up, and if they scored that, it was, I wouldn't say curtains, but like, they had a serious chance of qualifying then if they won that. And they obviously, Zenit scored, and then Zenit won it. And then I think it was a Maccabi away in Israel where they may have gone a goal down, and they equalised, and then it just didn't happen from there.
I was at the Alkmaar game right at the end, and it was just a different team. You didn't have any hope going in. The way you kind of were excited about that Zenit game, thinking if they hold on, you didn't have any hope for the last 30, 40 minutes. Maybe that's harsh, I can't really remember, but I do remember going, there's no spark. The spark's gone, whatever it was earlier in that campaign.
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest. Your behaviour was despicable. We do deserve it, yeah. Being robbed during the season with the Dublin City affair. I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time. And all I can say is, Stephen Kenny, we've won it. So go on, go back to Scotland and get lost. People talk about Stephen Kenny's a nice guy. I don't want people like that in the league. His carry on has been absolutely outrageous.
Very strong words from Stuart Byrne there. Roddy, what do you reckon?
Well, I think he was a bit angry.
I suppose let's contrast it with Shamrock Rovers in 2011. Rovers came into this with a run of problems. They didn't come into this with everyone sort of slapping their back and talking about how beautiful they look. Michael O'Neill was under a bit of pressure. Trevor Crowley, his assistant, had just left. And Jim Magilton came in and supposedly is key to all of this, because you read... I'll give an early plug to our good friend MacDara Ferris's Tala Time book, reading some of the quotes in that again, and you just see how many people talk about Jim. And not to take away from Michael O'Neill, who achieved a lot, but it was clear that someone like this coming in and getting involved was really a big moment for them. And the big win against Tallinn, I suppose, is probably where we were mentioning this. Manus saving a penno, and then Chris Turner sticking in a scrappy one, and that, I think, is right in saying, was the first European Cup or Champions Cup win for Shamrock Rovers ever, basically. Which, again, when we're talking about this being a night of firsts, like, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, and they just lost to Alan Manus as well, wasn't it?
I think it was just after that, because it comes after the Partizan game, I think that is. So essentially...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, so second leg would have been a 0-0, so that saw them through. And then they got Copenhagen... who would have been a team of higher pedigree. Look at Tallinn, I think they only had one win themselves in European competition, not European competition, sorry, they probably had a few in the Europa, but like in the top tier of European competition, whereas Copenhagen, I think, were the highest seeded team that could have drawn on that side. So they were a serious outfit. They did sort of deal with them quite clinically, 3-0 in aggregate. The Europa qualifier against Partizan is probably, in the same way that I talked about the Bate one, this is probably the standout game. What it has above Dundalk's is some absolute stunners. It has some absolute beauts. It's outrageous.
And I think the one moment from that game is the delayed equaliser in Tala. Mm-hmm. That if they didn't get that, they wouldn't have.
That's it.
It wouldn't have happened, I don't think. But
Gary McCabe's greatest ever goal, according to Gary McCabe.
Oh, right.
He said himself, apparently. But it is. It's a lovely goal. He whatever they did with him in the second half, because it wasn't really working out, I think they kind of made him more involved centrally into it. And he basically fakes the shoot, he kind of plays a lovely little 1-2 with Gary Twigg, and it's his left foot touch as the ball comes back, so when Twigg plays back to him, he's being closed down at that point by a defender. He manages to just left to right, really, really quickly, cuts it in, poke it in, and it's a glorious, glorious little goal. And then I think should give a little bit of context to the away trip for Partizan, because notably there's very, very few fans that got across to that game. Part of that is that it was a rough enough place back then. There was a lot of trouble over in Belgrade, and if you go back, you can read about that. There's also, as I said, McDara's book points out, a third away trip in 5 weeks at that time, so it was all kind of building up, and Ryanair didn't fly there, so a lot of people wouldn't have gotten cheap flights. So you're starting to see a bit of a problem there, but it's at that point, I think, that Anna Manis has just left, so you would have had Ryan Thompson.
And Richard Rush, wasn't it?
Richard Rush coming in. But Ryan Thompson, who would have had some shaky moments, it's fair to say, across the campaign. Probably, you know, made some important saves as well, to be fair.
He wasn't the worst, but he wasn't.
Alan Manis, even now, we're looking at him last year being so, so good. And you talk about, I mean, if you'd have done that to the Dundalk team, we'd have taken, take Gary Rogers even, because it would have been Sava who would have been backup goalkeeper. And again,
I don't think that would have worked.
Solid enough here and there, but it just not maybe the same fate from the back line or something to that effect. But yeah, I think it is remarkable when you think about that. It probably doesn't go down as much from non-Rovers fans. I'm sure every Rovers fan is like, don't forget we did have Gary Rogers. It's brilliant. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that game. Partizan go one up, essentially. And then one of the best goals, another first. This probably is, it's hard to say, one of the best goals from an Irish team in Europe ever, I would say. From an unlikely source in Pat Sullivan, who hits an absolute screamer of a 30-yard volley from a corner clearance.
It was meant to be from then,
wasn't
it?
Oh my God, it's absolute. Yeah. That goal, you could watch it again and again and again, because it is just outrageous. I would say he leathers it, but it's not even that, it's just the right connection. Like, right off the laces, into that. It doesn't bounce once, it flows, and it hits the net before it bounces. Like, hits the side of the net on the volley before it bounces. Like,
it's one of those, as soon as he hits it, you know it's going in.
Which is amazing, considering, I think again, if you go and find that clip on YouTube, they say, I think that's his first league goal, or not his league goal, his first goal of the season, because I think he'd have had a couple of injury troubles here and there, but unbelievable, like, for your first goal of the season to be that one.
It's outrageous. Beautiful. It's absolutely outrageous.
If Gary McCabe is taking that one as his greatest ever goal, Pat Sullivan better be taking that one as his greatest ever goal, because it definitely is. I suppose then it goes into extra time, second half of extra time, and Kilduff has a shot blocked by the keeper. Keeper spills it. It's good effort by Kilduff, actually. It's kind of reactive in terms of how he gets to it, but Shepherd nearly nips in. There's a touch. Is it a dive? It's a questionable penalty.
You have to give it.
Isn't it? You have to give it. If that was the other way around,
You'd be fuming. You'd be absolutely fuming.
It's one of those that, like, Carl, I actually think you probably should have just finished that, to be honest. But look, who am I to say that? Questionable anyway, but it's a penalty. It's a penalty. And there's a load of time wasting before Steve O'Donnell actually gets up to hit the penalty. One of the players booted away, and then the ref isn't happy where it's on the spot and all this kind of stuff. So Stevie does really well, keeps his head, and sends the keeper the wrong way. And, you know, there you go. Absolute stunned crowd in Belgrade as well, who are quite a loud group at that time.
Well, why wouldn't they be? They just got beaten by, like, no disrespect to Shamrock Rovers, but they got beaten by an Irish side that
wouldn't have been expected at all.
Up until about maybe 3 years previous, maybe 5 years previous, they weren't even in the top flight.
Yeah.
So I think they probably had good reason to be
fairly gutted.
I'd say so. Yeah. Like, so late in the game. Out of Europe as well, like, you know.
So Rovers make history, go on to the group stages, as I said, laying the foundation. You could even argue for this later down the line. We won't, there's no point in piling in on each of these group games. We should pick out a few standouts like we did with Dundalk. And apart from, just as we talked about the penalty, there was Stevie O'Donnell tried a Panenka dink. Do you remember that against Kazan? And it didn't go well.
I can't say I remember so that now.
For a moment, like you're talking about there, such a big penalty. You know, he slots it away so coolly. And you could, it kind of nearly go, look, stuff like that just didn't come off for them in the groups a lot of the time.
Maybe he's just too confident.
Maybe.
You
know? Well, trying to Panenka, Stevie. Yeah, who do you think? I'm sure he got a lot at the time, as it was. But apparently the keeper dived the wrong way and it's just his foot caught it out. So it was one of those. But we probably have to mention over at Spurs at White Hart Lane.
That goal.
Yeah, stunning.
We don't even need to say who scored it, do we?
No. Do we have to say Pat Sullivan? Had a major part to play in it. But another great effort from well outside.
That was going wide, but yeah. it was... I don't even remember... I remember the goal, obviously, but it wasn't a great goal. No. It was just maybe the reaction to it afterwards that it's like...
Yeah.
Shamrock Rovers are beating Tottenham Hotspur at White Hart Lane. You know?
For people who... Because there might be a few of your young whippersnapper type folk who are listening in this who don't remember. It's Stephen Rice who manages to get it in after that shot comes in. And this is 50 minutes into the game, I think it is. So
yeah, it's just after the second half started. Yeah.
So then we're talking an hour into the game and it suddenly dawns on maybe people who wouldn't have watched it or who aren't paying attention or who hate the League of Ireland. My God, Shamrock Rovers are 1-0 up against Spurs at White Hart Lane, which is crazy. We talked about Zenit team. This is a really good Spurs team, and it's got maybe players that you would have questioned them their later career, but at this point, Pavlyuchenko was decent enough. You'd had Giovanni Dos Santos, who...
wasn't bad.
No, he was a good little player. Yeah. Certainly didn't work out for him in the Premier League.
Yeah, probably.
But he's gone off and had a really solid career elsewhere. Andros Townsend at that time would have been one of the big emerging talents. Not big, but you know what I mean? One of those Spurs emerging talents who you know, they would have rated at that point, you know? Was going pretty well. Jermaine Defoe was in the team, you know what I mean? Carlo Cudicini, you can keep going and name this whole bloody lineup.
Carlo Cudicini, the greatest man in the world.
Why?
Because he's just obviously like Chelsea.
Just rated him. But essentially, you know, really, really strong unit. And unfortunately, what that goal does is it's like poking them. They could have got a 0-0 if they'd have just left it.
Maybe if they scored later on, they could have won it.
Maybe if Stephen Rice had got out of the way and Pat Sullivan shot had just gone wide, they'd have been all right. Let's blame Stephen Rice. 3 goals in 6 minutes.
Blame Stephen Rice for the second greatest achievement in his career.
Goals in 6 minutes, unfortunately, turns it around for Spurs, which then allows, in the post-match interview, Harry Redknapp to call them Shamrock. Oh, Shamrock have done well, yeah. Shamrock.
Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
They all do it. But that's probably the standout one there.
At least it's better than the other word that people used to call them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we're not allowed. Yeah. McDarrell throw a freaker. He made me bleep it out before. A bit behind the curtain slightly there. I suppose you compared the rest of the teams in that side. And you made a point to me off air that looking at these two groups.
Yeah.
Who had the harder group? You would say Shamrock Rovers, probably.
I'd argue Rovers did. Because if you look at it, I have the groups here.
Okay.
Were Zenit, St. Petersburg better than Spurs at the time?
That's probably close enough, but I'd probably just go with Spurs edging it out. Tactically, I don't think Harry Redknapp would be ahead of the manager who was at Zenit, who I can't remember his name off heart, but I think he's one of the highest ever appearances in the Champions League, along with Fergie and stuff like that.
AZ Alkmaar, probably their lowest ebb in a long time.
They'd lost your man Spurs, actually.
Yeah, were they better better than Kazan, though? Probably not.
No, Kazan would have been better. What's your man's name who went to Spurs, the Dutch guy?
Just
lost him. He's still there, I think.
Janssen, wasn't
he? Yeah, Janssen. So he would have been a big player for Alkmaar at that point, and they lost him. They were a little bit blunted.
Then Tel Aviv, were they better than PAOK?
No, PAOK were a pretty strong team back
and
then.
They still are, actually.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, still relatively strong. So, no, you're definitely right. You can make that argument, that ultimately probably had the stronger team. And I suppose for Shamrock Rovers, the gloss shouldn't be taken off it. Again, people maybe just remember that campaign in terms of the group stage. But, you know, given that they're the first ever team to do that, then they went on to win the league and the Setanta Cup as well. I think they did.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Dundalk to beat, was it?
I can't remember. I can't remember for the life of me. But the gloss shouldn't come off it. I think that probably puts the gloss back on in a way, because you're like, you look at the end of the season achievements, the first team ever to ever do that while winning a double, and you're like, that is immaculate. That is an absolutely excellent season. So, yeah, I suppose we're sort of drawn on nearly all elements of this, which is really fence-sitting side of it. Yeah. I would say for me, in terms of a run, if you're talking about a European run,
has to be Dundalk.
Dundalk win it on that.
But if you look at the circumstances around the Shamrock Rovers
this
run,
is it.
You have to take that into consideration, because if you don't, you're just going to leave yourself completely open to...
Styles of play, Dundalk were more entertaining to watch. The goals were more entertaining from Shamrock Rovers. There was probably a little bit more drama in it as well.
Yeah.
So it depends what you like in your European football runs, I suppose.
It kind of depends on the manager as well, because Michael O'Neill probably be more pragmatic than Stephen Kenny. I think we face fair enough to say that.
I don't know. We're stuck with a stalemate on this one. We were worried we're going to get pelters at the start of it, but I think we should be all right. If anything, hopefully it's just Harry Redknapp who ends up getting pelters with Ed Shamrock.